بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 19th of January in the year 2016 and the night prior I made a start on the section with regards to the reality of the world and its worth in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just to mention briefly the key points before moving on. The first is the report in Kanzul Umal, number 217, where our beloved messenger mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the recital of La ilaha illallah, it will protect a person against the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as long as he regards the deen to be more important than this world. However, when he starts to regard the world as more important than his deen, then even his recital of La ilaha illallah will be cast back at him and he will be told, you are a liar. So here, it's critical for the believer to have obviously as a priority the hereafter. But if the world becomes a greater priority, it's negating your utterance of the shahada, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And the other report, which I think helps to explain further, the report is in Kanzul Umal, number 8589. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, that portion of this world which benefits your hereafter is not harmful. But that portion of this world is harmful, which benefits only your life in this world. So this explains that it's not a fixed state. People have different levels. For example, like I mentioned many times, some of the very wealthy companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had plenty of wealth. So outwardly, they got a lot of the wealth, but they were benefiting with that wealth. So it didn't harm them. But maybe for ourselves, we need to downgrade the scale, as they say. And if it benefits your akhirah, of course, you take more from the world as much as you can. If the world is only benefiting your world, this is what's dangerous. The Prophet was referring to Allah alayhi wa sallam. And the other report, which is a sign of goodness, the hadith is in Kanzul Umal, number 30,741. Our beloved messenger, he said, paraphrasing sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you find it easy to acquire something of the akhirah, but conversely find it difficult to achieve something of this world when you seek it, then remember you are in a good state. However, when the opposite prevails, then understand you are in a dangerous state. So this is another sign. People say, what are the signs? So if the akhirah, you notice that Allah Ta'ala is opening up deeds that will make, you know, you benefit greatly in the akhirah, this is a good sign. And if the world, you're taking from it, but it's not coming to you in leaps and bounds, that's a good sign as well. But sadly, many would think this is not a good sign. So moving on. How beautifully and simply did our beloved messenger put it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, as related by Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, the person who hankers after this world is then in reality, most foolishly, throwing himself into hell. Audhubillah. The person who hankers after this world, then in reality, most foolishly, is throwing himself into hell. This is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 10,124. So this is the reality. The person who just wants the dunya, that's a sign that he's damned. He's throwing himself into the fire because, like I mentioned, night prior, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah Ta'ala created the world, he never looked at it with mercy. This is in Ibn Asakir. How true were the words of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as related by Mahmud ibn Labid radiyallahu in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 23,113. People foolishly fear two things, though in reality they are better for them. Firstly, they fear death, when death actually saves them from further fitna and tribulations. And secondly, they fear deficiency in their wealth, when the less wealth that they have will result in less accountability. So look how amazing. The Prophet ﷺ said, you foolishly fear these two things. And it's true. For example, if somebody says, I fear a gift, I've got a phobia. What's your phobia? Somebody giving me a gift. What sort of a phobia is that? A gift is something that you look forward to. One report mentions it's like paradise. Why? Because you didn't strive for it, you just got it automatically. What did the Prophet ﷺ say that death was? In Bayhaqi and Mishkat, the Prophet ﷺ said, death is the gift for the believer. It's a gift. Allah has given you a gift. Now, why is that strange for many of us? Because we're attached to the world. So it doesn't feel like a gift. You're being taken away from something you love. That's why you're getting hurt. But if you don't love the world, very happily you pass on to the what you've built in the Akhirat. So this is the first thing the Prophet mentioned. The first thing is death. And he explained why death is good for you. Because you're saved from fitna. We know for certainty that the fitna will accelerate. We're getting closer and closer to Qiyamah. It will penultimate, it will reach its peak at the Dajjal. But it's going to get worse. So even logically, you don't want to live till that time. The fitna will be great. This is why there's a saying, I don't think it's a hadith. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person, He takes him away young. Takes him in his youth. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the second thing you foolishly fear is deficiency in wealth. But less accountability. Imagine on the Day of Judgment, you'll see a man getting questioned, and let's say he's a millionaire. Do you envy that person? At that point, you're thinking, thank God I didn't have millions. He's getting roasted in interrogation. But on the earth, how strange, a person looks up to that person. And then, of course, this is not regarding the noble one who says, if I had that wealth, I would spend it in a good way. This is talking about the foolish one. If I had that wealth, I would do even worse things than what this person's doing. So those two things, this is why Abu Darda once said to one of his friends, radiyallahu, he said, I've made a special dua for you. So his friend goes, what dua did you make for me? He said, I prayed for your death and poverty. So the friend was devastated. He goes, what sort of a dua is that? He goes, these are the two gifts. He goes, don't you want the gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But be honest, if somebody makes that dua, you think you're cursing the guy. Clarifying further, in Kanzul Umal, number 6191, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person attaches himself to this world and entertains lengthy hopes, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blinds his heart to the extent of his attachment to the world. However, when a person detaches himself from this world and curbs his hopes, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will educate him without him searching for knowledge, and will guide him without the need for a guide. Subhanallah. So let's look at this amazing report. It's the same thing, the same subject. Again and again, the Prophet is referring to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you attach yourself to the world, meaning that you're basically going the wrong way, and you have lengthy hopes, basically, I'm going to live a long life, blah, blah, blah. What happens? Allah Ta'ala blinds your heart to the extent of your attachment. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you're blind. It means you will not be affected by the medicine. The medicine is the Quran, the Sunnah, the exhortations. It's not having the impact. Think about that. Isn't that a wretched state? You're not getting moved. You see other people change their ways. Why isn't it affecting me? And then one of the reasons you can put that down to is you've attached yourself to the world. And the more you attach yourself, the more your heart gets blind. But then the Prophet ﷺ said, but when a person does the opposite, he starts detaching himself from the world. And he curbs his hopes. He goes, no, I don't think I'm going to live for a long time. Allah Ta'ala gives him something incredible. He educates him without him searching for knowledge. Because it will come to you. and he will guide him without a need for a guide. So a person goes, well, how does that work? Just think of people like that. They're the wisest people. Where are they getting that knowledge from? They're very simple in dunya matters, but when it comes to the deen matters, you notice they're very strong. Allah is helping them because they've understood something about the world. A magnificent example of this reality was the Venerable Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh. This is recorded in Al-Bidayah, Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, and Hafiz ibn Jawzi, rahmatullah alayh, in his Sirat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh. Ya'qub relays from his father, rahmatullah alayh. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, used to wear the finest clothes and most fragrant perfumes. He would use so much perfume that the amber could be seen gleaming like salt on his beard. However, when the responsibility of the Khilafat were placed on his shoulders, his condition was reversed and he abstained from all forms of luxury. Then the Shaykh mentioned, however, when Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, was governor of Al-Madinah, that means he wasn't the Khalifa, he was just the governor of the holy city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked Rabah ibn Ubaidah, rahmatullah alayh, who was a merchant from Basra, purchase the finest silk robes for me. He goes, go and buy it. You're a merchant. Get me the finest silk robes. Rabah, rahmatullah alayh, brought a fine silk robe costing 10 dinars, gold coins, before Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh. He felt it. He said, this feels too rough. He goes, I told you to get something fine. He goes, what's this? Too rough. The Shaykh goes, later, when Umar bin Abdul Aziz became the Khalif, rahmatullah alayh, he instructed the same merchant, Rabah, rahmatullah alayh, purchase a robe for me. And he came with a woolen robe costing 1 dinar. A rough robe costing 1 dinar. Umar bin Abdul Aziz felt it. This time he said, this robe is too soft. Get a rougher one. So Rabah was astonished. He goes, Amir al-Mu'mineen, rahmatullah alayh, when I brought pure silk for you a few years ago, you said it was too coarse. And now when I bring you rough, coarse wool, you say it is too soft. To which the Amir al-Mu'mineen, rahmatullah alayh, replied, O Rabah, rahmatullah alayh, that was then, this is now. O Rabah, rahmatullah alayh, because that was then, because this is now. So when you read that report, you're thinking, what's he talking about? You've got to go back to the hadith I've just quoted. He detached himself. When he detached himself from the world, Allah Ta'ala himself was educating him. Now look how beautiful the statement. That's why the merchant got shocked. He thought, 1 minute he's asking me for the finest clothes. Imagine you give somebody silk and he touches it. He goes, it's too old, that's too coarse. I need something finer. And then just a few years later, you get him the most rough cloth and he goes, it's too soft. So obviously the guy will either think you've gone, you know, you're not mentally stable, or I've missed something which you need to teach me. And he goes, that was then, this is now. In other words, I didn't have understanding then. But you have to go back to the hadith. Look how beautiful that statement was. This is why one of the people said to a saint, you're a zahid, because you've detached yourself from the world. The saint goes, how can I be a zahid? Because I didn't have much of the world in the first place. He goes, the true Zahid is Umar bin Abdul Aziz. He's the Zahid. Because he had the whole world, he gave it up. Now why is it he became Khilafur Rashidin? Allah Ta'ala was now promised. He never breaks his promise. I will guide him. Even though it was Umayyad kingship, Allah Ta'ala placed within it Khilafur Rashidin. Somebody goes, why was he Khilafur Rashidin? That was one of the reasons. He detached himself. And the Prophet's promise came true. Allah Ta'ala said, I will educate him without him searching for knowledge, will guide him without the need for a gun. But we're not Amir al-Mu'mineen, you understand? But at the very least, we can say, look, I don't need this. In fact, even non-Muslims say, because why have I made my life complicated? You see, once I was watching this documentary, it's basically the guy's giving up the rat race, giving it up. And this person goes to him, and he's living, rough, basically, in some sort of woodland. And he goes, how do you eat? So he takes him, this is in America, and he goes to a place where they're just putting all the, the waste of the food. I think it was a pizza parlor. And he goes down the back and he opens this dubba, this box up, and there's a full pizza there. And the guy's shocked. He goes, hey. Then he goes, have you got one with, and he mentioned some like delicate one. He goes, have you got one with pineapple and this, that? He was joking. He goes, yeah, looks through it, finds another one. And the guy gets shocked because he's getting free pizzas. Then he goes, what about desserts? He goes, oh, takes him somewhere else, goes down the bike, finds a dessert. Question, these aren't Muslims. And he goes, why are you living like this? And he goes, rat this. He goes, I had enough of it. Right? And that person, what was very interesting about him was he was very clever. And I remember this hadith. I thought, does that hadith also apply to non-Muslims? That take it, and you'll notice, if you look at Christians, the monks, how wise are they? Every time you come across a hadith, predominantly, they ask very intelligent questions to the Sahaba. Where are they getting that wisdom from? They've detached themselves from the world. It's a hadith where the Prophet said, do not take jizya from the monks. Allah Ta'ala has honored a person from the people of the book who's supposed to give jizya. They don't give jizya. Why? Because the scholars say, Allah Ta'ala likes that in His servants. They've given up the world. So He honors them because they don't give jizya. So imagine you get monks in an Islamic state. Dunya-wise, they're laughing. Right? So this is again very important, very interesting things mentioned here. An even greater example of this was Mus'ab ibn Umar, about whom Umar had related, radiyallahu. In Tabarani, Bayhaqi Hakim Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, Kanzul Umal, volume 7, page 86, Targheem number 1779, Imam Suyuti in his Jam'ul Jawami, Mazahir al-Haq, number 5366, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 303 of the New English Translation. Sayyidina Umar said, radiyallahu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once saw Mus'ab ibn Umar radiyallahu approach wrapped in a sheepskin. He thereupon remarked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unzuru ila hadha alladhi nawwara Allah qalba. Look at this man whose heart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has illuminated. I saw him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, at a time in the care of his parents. They would give him the best of foods and drinks. I also saw him wearing an outfit that was bought for 200 dirhams. فَدَعَاهُ حُبُّ اللَّهِ وَحُبُّ الرَّسُولِهِ إِلَىٰ مَا تَرَوْنَ. It was then that the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him to the situation that you now see. So let's look at this. So this is an authentic report. So Mus'ab, radiyallahu, he had everything. His, the reports mentioned, he would get his perfume from Yemen. He'd get his clothing from Basra, Iraq, Kufa. So he was a trendsetter. When he would be, during the night, he'd have some food next to him. He'd be eating food during the night. Basically, complete luxury. When he now embraced Islam, what happened to him? So again, Boli Bali Musliman, he goes, oh, look, whoa. They start feeling pity for him. Oh, why are you feeling pity for Muslim for? And then he goes, the Prophet showed pity. No, he didn't. It wasn't pity. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he praised him. He goes, look at him. Now what was he wearing? Sheepskin. So basically, imagine it, from what he was to what he became. So outwardly, a buffoon would think that's what Islam does to people. Makes him, low, in the sight of society. That's the outward state. Who's bothered about the outward? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look at the man whose heart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nawwar Allah, is illuminated. Going back to the promise, Allah has given him wisdom. And then he said, He praised him because he used to have the best food, the drinks, best garments. But love for Allah and His Messenger now put him into this condition. In another report, it mentions in Daylami, in his Musnad al Firdaus, Mazair Ihaq, number 5366, Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhum, he relates that the Prophet said, مَا رُوِيَتِ الدُّنْيَا أَنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا كَانَتْ خَيْرَةُ اللَّهِ. The world is not denied to anyone without that being good for him. The world is not denied to anyone without that being good for him. A very famous hadith shows this. The hadith is in Hakim Sahih, Zahabi Sahih. And many other references. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a servant, He keeps him away from the world, just as you keep somebody who is ill away from water for fear that it would harm him. And this is a very interesting analogy the Prophet gave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is it a perfect analogy? Because a fruitcake will look at that, and he would think that the person denying water to the man is being cruel to him. Isn't that true? You see the person sweating, mouths dry. He says, I need water. And then the person's denying it. So the fruitcake, he would think, give him some water. You don't realize that's going to kill him. So the person goes, no, you got to keep water away from him. That is the analogy the Prophet said with the servant that Allah Ta'ala loves when it comes to the world. Meaning, fruitcakes, look at those people like Musab. They think they've lost out because they haven't got understanding. But the person of understanding looks at that, he goes, Allah Ta'ala loves him. He's keeping the world away from him. Though it looks like there's harshness there, but there's no harshness, it's love. Hafiz Mullah Ali Qari said about this hadith in his Mirqat, Mazair Ihaq, number 5366. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to reiterate? The world is not denied to anyone without that being good for him. So who's anyone? Is that only Muslims? Mawla Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi said, anyone in is a general word that includes an unbeliever with a believer. Why? As the punishment in hell to a poor unbeliever will be lighter than to a rich unbeliever. This makes clear that if poverty gets an unbeliever preference in that world, then why will it also not get it to a poor believer in the hereafter? This is because he exercised patience in the world. The Prophet's words are precise. Anybody. So a person goes, well, he died with unbelief. He goes to hell forever. Yes. But he doesn't get punished as much. He's benefited. Though, if you can call that benefit. So, if an unbeliever benefits from taking less of the world, how can a Muslim be denied this? How pertinent, therefore, were the words of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, as related by Ammar ibn Yasir, radiallahu anhu, this is in Kanzul Umal, number 6173. There is no worship better than being disinclined from this world. There is no worship better than being disinclined from this world. Think about that. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? This is the best afdalul ibadat. The best worship is to show disinclination to the world. Allah Ta'ala loves that. And to finish, in Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 10,244, Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, he said to the gathering he was addressing, should I not inform you about the cure for your disease? Your disease is love of this world. And its cure is in the dhikr of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Should I not inform you about the cure for your disease? Your disease is love of this world. And its cure is the dhikr, is in the dhikr of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's look at this. Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu was sent by Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu to Damascus, where the governor was Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu. Abu Darda's task was to educate the masses. When he got there, he started weaning them off the world. He was called Hakim al-Ummat, the doctor, the physician of the Ummat. He knew medicine. He also had great knowledge of the heart. So he said, this is your disease. Your disease is hubb al-dunya. Famous hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a time is coming, only you will be as numerous as the stars. So the Sahaba thought, Ya Rasulullah, we're going to be so strong. We're so strong now, but in those days, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, because you'll be very weak. In fact, you'll be like the froth on the ocean, that weak. So they were confused, because how is that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will have then two illnesses that you don't have now. Called it again, illness. You will then have two illnesses that you don't have now. Love of the world and fear of death. حب الدنيا وكراهة الموت. None of the Sahaba had that. The Prophet didn't say, just a few of my Sahaba. He goes, you haven't got this illness. Meaning you are great people. This makes you great. Love of the world is out of your hearts and you don't fear death. For example, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said in Ibn Sa'ad and Istabaqat, if I could touch a pillar of the masjid and that would kill me and I would not have committed a sin, nobody would beat me to that pillar. So obviously apply it to yourself. If I says to any, including myself, see this pillar. If you touch it, you will die. You haven't committed suicide. Let's go for it. Be honest. I'll be the first to make excuses. Oh, hang on a minute. What about my family? What about my... sort a few loose ends at first. Right? There you go. MashaAllah. Another guy in a wheelchair with six pack. Right? Imagine, right? The one who doesn't fear death, he will jump on it. Abu Huraira. Radiallahu. And love of the world. Imagine, okay, you haven't got that, brother. You fear death. But you can't love the world. Then the guy looks at you. He goes, well, brother, I've been tranquilized as well. So you're in a wheelchair and you're tranquilized. And you want khilafat. Allahu Akbar. What are you going to do with khilafat? Right? Give orders like, you know, Stephen Hawking's. Right? Astaghfirullah. So here, this is the cure. Should I not inform you about the cure of your disease? Your disease is love of the world. Its cure is in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The cure is there. Thus, to conclude, if one looks at various reports, these are the things that will take away love of the world. So these are the cures. Number one, zuhud. Detaching yourself from the world. Right? That will take love of the world out of your heart. Dhikr. Verbally, physically, dhikr. Three, frequent remembrance of death will take the love of the world out of your heart. Fourthly, narrating the incidents, the lives of the pious, they will take love of the world out of your heart. And fifthly, contemplation. Contemplating upon the heavens and the earth are five essentials to rid oneself from the deadly disease of love of the world. But of course, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. There is no power or might except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the Great. Think about that. So that's it. There's five things. There may be others, but these are the five great ones. Zuhud, dhikr, frequent remembrance of death, narrating of the pious, and contemplating. These five things, if you apply them to your life, you will start getting detached from the world. But if you haven't got this, you're in deep trouble. Because the world is constantly around you. And there's people who will never say they love the world, but they're drowning in it. And these people are always in your company. Imagine what effect that's going to have on you. Astaghfirullah. So all I discussed again today was basically a few reports about the disease of the love of the world. And we ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in this and all important matters. Amen. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصل بالحق ونواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.